Hello, everyone, and welcome to That Pixel Life. This is episode 41 for February 28th. Maybe we'll figure it out. 2019. And this week we're going to cover Crackdown 3, Anthem, and of course, the biggest game of 2019, Tetris 99. I am your host, Zach Anderson. And with me, as always, is Mr. Shannon Moore.
Hello. How are you all doing?
Oh, fabulous. And also joining us is the third wheel on this tricycle, Mr. Robbie Stoltenpool.
What's up?
Can I just throw in real quick? It's been a long time since I've seen you guys. We did miss our Valentine's Day special, and I just wanted to use my my sexy pickup lines on each of you. So the one I had for you, Zach, was I wish you were my little toe so I could bang you on every piece of furniture in the house. And Robbie, you were you must have mirrors in your pants because I can see myself in them. So I just wanted to let you know you were on my mind on Valentine's Day. Not to make this awkward or anything.
Oh, that's awesome.
We're off the rails right now.
Let's awesome.
All right, we can go on now. Like I just
pay, I'd pay you $0 for that shirt because I want it 100% off.
Like it.
Okay, so yes, head on over to thatpixellife.com for more from us. Why would you not want more from us at this point? I mean, after that witty banter, including all the links you might like. You know, you get follow us on Twitter at thatpixellife for updates, and get at us on YouTube, and you can watch some of the unedited live streams and just the shenanigans that go forth there. The Facebook group is where we usually will hang out to chat video games and industry buzz and news and all that fun stuff. We do have a Patreon if you'd like to help us keep the show running and pick up some of them bills we got out there. And then, yeah, links to every podcast platform can be found on thatpixellife.com. So iOS, Android, whatever random off-brand Chinese phone you might be carrying, we got you covered. Come find us. So first off, you might notice or be saying to yourself, what the hell is Zach doing hosting this show? Well, there's been a bit of a kind of caught all of us a little bit off guard now. But Mr. Josh Faulkner has decided to step away from the show as far as the podcasting part of it, the recording aspect. And well, first and foremost, it was an amicable breakup. We have no problems with Mr. Josh Faulkner. We all absolutely understand the demands, the jobs and kids and all that stuff. And it's quite frankly, for all of us, very difficult to find time to sit down and record once a week.
As tonight showed.
Yeah. As ridiculous as it sounds, like, yeah, in an entire week, can you find 2 hours to get four people to sit down and talk? Yeah, it's actually really hard. So I understand fully Josh not wanting to put himself through that mental ringer weekly anymore. Josh is very much still involved with That Pixel Life. He's going to continue to write for the site. He's going to be active on our chats and groups and some play streams and things like that. And he very much is helping us behind the scenes. He's just not going to be part of the show anymore. And I personally will miss Josh very much. He's one of my favorite people to talk games with. For me, it was like always a highlight of my week to just get down and geek out with Josh for a little bit about, you know, this dumb habit that takes all my money. But it'll be fine going forward. It just is, if you could give us a little bit of a grace period as we readjust, because as everyone, if you've listened to the show prior, you know, Josh was a very, very big part of it. And, you know, big shoes to fill. So that's, we will be doing the best we can. We will be rolling out some changes in some weeks as we try to kind of figure out what we want to do here and as far as content wise and things of that nature. But, for right now we're rolling. This is the crew, the three of us. We'll probably have some guests in the future that we've been working on, but, for right now, this is me, Shannon and Robbie's show. And, you are stuck with us. So you deal with that. But yeah, so the biggest change right now coming down the pike is I think we had a Thursday release schedule before. Our recording date has moved from Wednesday now to Sunday, just because it worked better for everyone's schedule. So going forward, I believe our release date is going to be Tuesday. So that'll be the major change. But outside of that, we're going to be rolling forward with kind of just our standard show. So anyone else have anything to add before we press on?
No, I just want to echo and, you know, echo that there was nothing wrong. There was no problem with Josh or anything like that. He had to make a decision that was best for him for right now. So I support him in doing that.
Yeah. And like that seat's always going to be open. So if he ever wants to come back, I mean, he's definitely welcome with open arms, you know, and then, you know, who knows, maybe with, you know, Zach and Robbie and I offloading a lot of the behind the scenes stuff for the production aspect of it, maybe he'll come back and be able to drop his knowledge bombs of video games on us. So it's not a final goodbye. It's just a temporary one. So
more of a see you later.
Yeah.
Like, you know, hey, see you later. You know, okay, we'll catch you next week. You know, it's one of those type of things.
Yeah, he had to go out and run some chores, errands, if you will.
Yes.
It's not going to be like my dad who went out for a pack of cigarettes 18 years ago. Oh, God.
Dear gracious. Are you all right?
But he's like he's a sloth, so it just takes him a long time to get to places. That's all it is. I mean, he might have just got to the liquor store by now. Who knows? but anyway, on that fun note, let's keep this rolling with a little industry buzz.
I'm sorry, we gotta make our own music now.
Industry buzz. God, this is just the stupidest thing. the biggest story of the week last week was Reggie, our once beloved pizza exec come Nintendo president, Reggie Fils-Aimé, announcing via Nintendo's Twitter account that he is stepping down as of April 15th. He is retiring. And now it's funny for me personally, because I'm not the biggest Nintendo fan in the world. And most people know this. I'm not, I've been told I don't hide it very well. But it's just funny because Reggie, for me, it was always just kind of this jokey type of character, you know, that he would come out to these press conferences and do the whole like my body is ready and all these type of things. And as someone that isn't a hardcore Nintendo guy, I always kind of appreciated him because he just was a guy that got it. Like, he didn't take things very seriously. At least he didn't present it that way. It was never presented as like, this is serious business. Oh my God, Mario, you guys don't even know what this means to the world of gaming. Like, it never came out that way. It was just more like, this is games and this is fun. Look how much fun all this is. Like, yeah, this is silly and we should be having fun with this. And as someone that pays attention to gaming industry, like I appreciate that, because I think that's something that gets lost along the way as we are talking about games. You know, these are products for fun and entertainment and, you know, started as children. We all started as children. The people that are buying the 18th Mario game that's basically Mario 3 with reskinned and some different mechanic on it. Like, you were a kid and you loved that thing. And there's a piece of that, especially with Nintendo more than most companies, that carries forward. And I think losing a company tentpole guy like that can't help the industry in a sense. I mean, we don't know. By the way, his replacement is Doug Bowser, which is the best thing I've ever read in my life. I actually had to mute Reggie, Nintendo, and Bowser on Twitter just because I got so sick of the jokes. Like, within 10 minutes, like, my whole timeline was things like, you know, was Max Bomberman turned down for the job? Like, you know, it just kept, you know, just on and on and on. But Doug Bowser is just the best name ever to head into. I mean, Bowser finally is running Nintendo, which is great. I think there's just something to be lost there. And I mean, it wasn't something where I cried about it. Like, I read people on Twitter, like, I watched that video and cried. I'm like, you're 35 years old, dude. What are you doing? But anyway, I mean, how did the news hit you guys?
I was caught off guard by it, just because to me, like, and I know this won't always be the case, and I know it wasn't always the case, but like Sean Layden,
mm-hmm.
Phil Spencer, Reggie, like those are the names to me that represent our industry as far as the big talking heads for these consoles.
And really the modern generation, like from essentially yes. PS3, 360 forward, like that. Those yeah. are the names you're talking about.
Yeah. And I'm actually quite the fan of all three of them, mm-hmm. you know? I think, you know, each has their problems in certain with their systems and whatever. But as far as like the talking heads, the guys who come out at E3 and get us excited for games, those are the dudes who do it. And so, I was a little caught off guard because, you know, why would you leave such a good gig? But we have no idea what's going on behind the scenes, you know? But with all that said, I'm going to miss seeing that giant human at E3 each summer.
Yeah, he's like 6'8" or something like that, right?
Oh, yeah, his hands are,
he's hands a massive are. Man. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely I feel like I got onto the basketball team I wanted to get on and all the all-star players left. That's kind of how I feel. Like, you know, I haven't been like a big Nintendo fan for a long time. Like I typically stuck to Sony, like especially through like all of the iterations of like the later Nintendo like systems. Like, so when I got back to the Switch, you know, I started to pay a little bit more attention to what they were doing. And he was always like Zach, like you were saying, like you were always excited to hear what he had to say, because I felt like he was genuinely excited for what he was, what mm-hmm. he was talking about, like the games that were coming out. He was always like super stoked about them. So, you know, to see somebody like that, like leave, somebody who has a flair for public speaking and for accurately being able to describe, you know, the games, you know, and it, not just like throwing up some programmer out there who has no stage presence. I mean, this guy had, you know, he had that secret sauce that lets you go out there and entertain a crowd. So, you know, for that, I'm sad. I feel like I'm missing something there, you know, like I'm not as upset as everybody else is, but like, you know, it's a bummer. But other than that, yeah, Bowser, that's gotta be like, he had to legally have changed his name, dude. There's no, like, there's no way like Bowser is an actual like last name. Come on, dude. Like, I'm like, where did that come from? What's the origin of Bowser? Like, please tell me.
I did love the self-aware photo that was posted of him where he had Mario and Luigi tied up on a shelf behind him. Like, I was like, yeah, that's pretty good. Okay. At least the guy's in on the joke, you know? And quick course correction. Reggie's height is 6'1", which I think speaks to how small everyone else in gaming is, because like, yeah, I've seen that guy on stage next to so many people and he is towering over them. I'm like, this guy has to be like 6'6", 6'8". Like, look at his monster. No, I think everyone else was probably just like 5'4". But, you know, whatever.
I will say this just because I want to just be that guy who mentioned something negative.
Mm-hmm.
I will never forget.
Wait, that's my job.
But no, I will never forget. I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago where they were talking to Reggie about the streaming effect, the streaming thing that was on mm-hmm. on PlayStation and was on Xbox. And would the Switch have that? And his response was, no one wants to watch other people play video games. And it just seemed like the most out of touch statement ever.
Mm-hmm.
And like that is, but I will also remember him promoting the Bigfoot pizza at Little Caesars. I will also remember him coming out and showing us the Game Boy Mini, you know, like I remember the positive things, but I will also just never forget that statement. No one wants to watch other people play video games.
I love the Bigfoot pizza. I'll just throw that out there.
Yeah.
I ate me some Bigfoot pizza back in the days.
Like, of course you did. Or the New Yorker. Yeah. Like, what's up, man? Mm-hmm, do y'all know what that is? The New Yorker?
That was the huge one with the, that was like a flat pizza, right? But it was massive. Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Don't even get me started when they first rolled out putting cheese in the crust. changed my damn life.
I'm sorry, guys. I don't know what you're talking about. I only ate good pizza. So, you know, just
leave that there. I did not. I ate some bad pizza in my life. But let me tell you, I enjoyed every bite. It was just, granted, I was 100 pounds heavier than I am now. So, you know, these things happen, but yeah, we can gloss over that back. In other Nintendo news, which actually, as you know, if we look back a year from now, this will probably be the biggest story maybe of this generation, is there's rumor that Microsoft and Nintendo are in cahoots to bring the Game Pass service to the Nintendo Switch, which I mean, yes, do that first off. But secondly, this would signal the first time first party essentially would appear on a Nintendo platform. And this, it would be game changing. It would absolutely be game changing because in reality, there have been so many times where Crackdown 3 is my latest example. I wish I could take Crackdown 3 on the go. Like, Crackdown 3 is one of those games. It's kind of mindless, but it's fun to shoot stuff. And being tethered to my TV to do it kind of is annoying. You know, it's just like, it's a great lunch hour game. It would be. But, and so having a service on the Switch that would give me access to this content would be amazing. And it also removes that burden from Microsoft. Because I saw a lot of the, like, well, why would Microsoft do this? Like, why would they help Nintendo in a sense by doing this? A, there's a ton of Nintendo Switches out there that would pay $10 a month to Microsoft for access to a whole library of games that Nintendo isn't going to provide them. And B, it gets all these Microsoft first party titles in the hands of a whole new audience. So, and C, removes the pressure of Microsoft to provide a platform to play them portably. Which is probably the most important part.
But I will say this. It does. Like, I thought Nintendo would be the company that first becomes the, what's the word? I thought they would have been the ones to cave first to let their products be on other systems.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I thought that was going to be the case. But now it seems that Microsoft is making that move. And I really just have this question in the day. What the heck is Xbox now? Like, if this is real, like, what are they really? Like,
they are, I believe, my thing is, the writing has been on the wall for a while, that they wanted to make Xbox a Steam-type service. They want the Xbox brand should be the games that it provides, not necessarily the hardware it runs on. And this is, you know, Game Pass was a big step on that, putting, you know, Xbox One first title or first party titles, cross-platform with PC. That's a big one. You buy it in one spot, you can play it on both. And I think their long game is, if you have a PC, you have an Xbox, you have a Switch, it doesn't matter. You can play that as long as you pay us, just give us the subscription money and you can play it wherever the heck you want. I think that's really, you know, the long game for Microsoft at this point.
Well, that's fine and all, but like, what, I mean, like, what kind of processing power are we talking about here? Because, or what type of games are they going to allow onto the Switch? Right. Cause like, I mean, the Switch has already been, I mean, it's, you know, it's obvious to anybody that it's not up to like the current gen console, like horsepower. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. So what games are they going to allow them to play?
Well, from what I understand, it's going to be a streaming device like the Vita, like, and so like the processing power is moot. Like it's just a streaming device and you're just using the screen.
Okay.
If I understand correctly, I could be completely wrong, but no, if it's
I believe you're correct, but I wouldn't shock me if it let you play like 360 games, if you could download 360 games and run them.
Yeah.
Cause the Switch could probably do that.
Because I'll tell you, like, I mean, I know I'm the only person who cares or speaks positively of the Vita, but mm-hmm. like I played freaking, I played Destiny 1. I played, you know, Dragon Age Inquisition. I played tons of awesome, beautiful games on my Vita, and because of that OLED screen, it looked incredible, you know, through the streaming. So, my beef with this ultimately comes to this. You're going to allow yourselves to play Xbox on the Switch, but I still can't use a freaking Bluetooth headset, and I still have to use my cell phone to talk to my friends while playing games with my friends.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And what's wrong? You have a phone already. Just use it. It's fine. Why do you need to use my thing? Use yours. Jeez.
So get up stupid.
Though it does make me wonder about the down the line Nintendo plan, like something like this, and if it hits and it's successful, I could very much see them coming out with a very high powered Switch in like 2 years, that you could just have it not be a streaming thing and you could just download the games and play them, you know, that sort of thing. And if they've proved that there's a market for it with this, that it's a thing that Nintendo fans want, then I can see where that is the case. And it also makes their non-television version of the Switch that's rumored to come out, the cheaper only handheld one, that's one solid piece, that makes a lot more sense when you're, because if you're an Xbox person and it's like, oh yeah, but you can buy a Switch for $199 that'll play all the Nintendo titles. Plus, you can use it to stream your games for an off-screen experience at home. Like, all of a sudden, that makes a lot more, rather than $350 or $300, you know, something down the line. It makes it make a lot more sense as a purchase. I mean,
at the end of the day, if this is real, which it probably is, it's better for the consumer. It's better for us,
yep.
You know, in some form or fashion. So, I'm not going to complain. I just... Are we really about to head into the next generation and it's really just going to kind of be Sony making top shelf AAA big beautiful linear story driven games? Xbox is going to kind of be all over the field and Nintendo is still going to be making cute Mario games. Like, is that kind of where we're just going to be at?
I mean, that's kind of where we're at now. Like, it's,
I know. You know. I just wasn't expecting it to be this way moving into the next console era, you know?
I wouldn't give up on Microsoft just yet.
I mean, why buy those five studios?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Microsoft is, if you read between the lines, they're very clearly loading up for the next generation. Oh, yeah. I think they're getting all the bones down to have all these services in play and be mature by the time that next generation comes around. But it wouldn't shock me if we don't see big games from them really until that generation hits, you know, and probably within 2 years. And cause it just doesn't make sense. Like you've lost, you know, like the PS4 has an insurmountable lead at this time. The Switch is its own huge install base that's taking, you know, that's eating your lunch money on its own level, but they've found success with Game Pass and they've found success in the Xbox One X, which actually is selling very well, you know, and it should have been the console they released in the first place. You know, they took a while to get there, but they got there. And it's going to be interesting to see the lessons learned, because you got to remember the first 3 years of the Xbox One experience were just cleaning up the mess, you know, like they had spent all their money in the wrong studios, making the wrong games, building the wrong box. Like, you know, it was just all Phil Spencer coming in and going like, yeah, cutting all of this goes away and we're building a new Xbox. Yeah. Remember the One S was like the replacement. And so we're going to build a new Xbox, get rid of this fucking Kinect, you know, get rid of, you know, Spellbound, which no one cares about. And like, you know, like all You're these wrong. Games. Well,
I go Spellbound, a scale. Scalebound is what
Scalebound, Scalebound, yeah. No, that's what I meant. Well, it's going to be Switch exclusive now, so you can play it.
Which kind of excites me. I just look at it this way. I don't understand how, and look, I know, I think I know what your retort's going to be or Shannon's response is going to be, but, and I'm sorry to be the Sony fanboy here, but Sony went through something almost worse than what Xbox did this go round with the PS3. Like it was almost worse. And like they come out, they charge $600-$700 for a system. They have a gazillion different SKUs. They continue to make rendition of the system. They had, you know, there was two USB ports and then four USB ports and then one USB port. Y'all remember all that stuff? And then there were certain systems that were backwards compatible and ones that weren't.
Like it was, and there's ones that could run Linux and ones that couldn't. And
It was a horrible time. But at the end of the day, we still had incredible games. Mm-hmm. We still had Last of Us, Uncharted 1, 2, and 3. You know, we had a litany of great games come out. But for Microsoft, if this console generation for Xbox is over by the beginning of 2020, which I believe is going to be the case with all these rumors.
I agree with you.
Rumors that, you know, the two new Xboxes are going to get announced at E3, and it's a perfect stage for them to do so because Sony's not going to be there, and neither is Nintendo. But here's my question. What's the game? What's the game of this generation for Xbox? Because, and I don't want to hear, please do not tell me Ori and the Blind Forest. But what's the game? Like, what's the game where everyone's gonna say that's the game you have to play before this console generation's up? Because I can't think of one.
There isn't
Forza. Forza. I mean, it's Forza 4.
Okay.
Forza Horizon 4 is amazing. I mean, it's legitimately amazing. Now that being said, it's a racing game. Like, there's not a lot of sizzle to that steak, you know. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things. Like, yeah, it's a great game. It's a racing game, and but, it's a really good one. But it's a racing game.
Yeah, other than the graphics of that game, the mechanics of it are still the same as the previous iteration. So even then, I wouldn't even say that is a game that you need to play. I mean, it's just a game you can, you know, watch, you know, at that point, just to take a look at the graphics. But I mean, I don't think Xbox has one this generation, and I think that's why you see them building up so much for the next generation.
Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry, Shannon, keep talking, my bad.
No, that's fine. I think that's pretty much all I was saying is just there is nothing right now. Like, Xbox has already given up on this generation. They're planning their next battle.
I'm trying to think of what my boy Matt would say, because Matt is an Xbox loyalist and I respect him deeply for that. And I'm just trying to think what he would say. And I do want to make one thing clear. There are certain games that came out on Xbox and PS4 that did run better on Xbox. Like, I will say that, and that is completely honest and true. And the first Tomb Raider, like if Tomb Raider stuck with Xbox and did not go to Sony as well. Like, and I understand why they did, because they're like, hey, we can sell like a few thousand, 100,000 copies on the Xbox, or we can sell 5 million copies on Sony. Mm-hmm. I get why they made the deal, but that could have been the one game, you know, if they would have kept Tomb Raider. Maybe the
Cuphead?
First one.
Cuphead, maybe?
Oh, that's it.
I'm still trying to think of games.
No, because Gears of War 4 was fine, but it was a better horde mode than it was an actual game, like a complete game. Yeah. Halo Gears 5. Was
Halo, same thing.
Halo good, 5.
Decent.
You know, Quantum Break was supposed to be the game, and it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I wouldn't even give it that.
Well, Quantum Break was a little rough. What was that? What was that game? Core. Something core.
Oh, Recore.
Like, you know, it just.
Well, that game wasn't even finished. Like,
no.
You know, I mean, it's apparently it's a lot better now. I've never gone back and played it. They've like patched in a bunch of stuff to help that game out. But that game I wanted to like so bad, and it wouldn't let me. It wouldn't let me like it, you know. But I don't know. Like, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. Because yeah, I think Shannon's right. It's we're at the what happens next stage, and I think this is a hell of a way to get there. Like it's interesting to see them make this push into Xbox as a service, not a console. And I think if anything, that's where they go from here. You know, it really is a it's going to be interesting to see the evolution of Microsoft under Phil Spencer, and see how it all goes. But you know, we'll find out along with everyone else, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Only time will tell.
And speaking of Game Pass and the perfect game for it, let's jump into our weekly consultation. And I will talk about Crackdown 3. Anyone else play this?
Nope.
No.
You know what? If you have Game Pass, download it and play it, because it is the perfect Game Pass game. Because you know what? This game is straight up Crackdown. Like, straight up. Like, it might as well be, they might have well, I almost think they did it a disservice calling it Crackdown 3. They should have just renamed it, or like Crackdown colon something, you know, Crackdown colon Skills for Kills or something, you know. because it has all the problems of Crackdown 1, and I mean, it the problem it really has is it's not 2007 anymore, and like, guess what, y'all, we all have played Spider-Man and the Assassin's Creed games and all these open world games that have done what Crackdown did so well originally way better, and you know, the variety of missions that are available to you and the size of the map that you can work on. It's just, there's not that much variety. There's not that many things to do. It's all pretty much by the numbers, you know, they could have, and that's the thing that's frustrating with it, is there was so much they could have done. Like the framing is there for a really cool game. And let me be perfectly clear, I had a ton of fun playing Crackdown 3. Like, everything that I enjoyed about Crackdown is also still there. Like, the guns are really fun. Climbing and flying around the map and getting all the agility orbs is still super fun. You know, the over-the-top announcer and, like, the dumb shit that he says throughout the entire game. Like, it's just stupid, and it's awesome. And it's, you know, you're running around blowing stuff up real good. And that's stays fun. But you know, like when they first introduce it, they do almost the Shadow of Mordor thing of like, okay, so here are the four big bosses, and then they have these lieutenants, and then like, and half of them are blacked out and you don't know who they are, and you have to do these missions to kind of like bring these people out to the front, you know, sort of thing, so they can like fill in this map and you know who they are and how do you go attack them. And when I first saw it, I'm like, oh, did they put a whole like nemesis structure into this thing? That would be amazing. Like just some random grunt that keeps killing you and like keeps boosting and like working his way up this ladder, and you have to take this guy out and all that. But no, they didn't. it's just like, no, you just die and you respawn and you have to go take out three monorail stations. And, you know, then the guy shows up and then you kill him and then you go kill his boss and you just keep moving on. You know, it just, and which is fine and it's fun, but at the same time, I think that's the biggest story of Crackdown 3 is everything that they could have done. And y'all, they announced this game in 2014. Like they had time to do some stuff in Crackdown 3, and they just didn't. I mean,
are the buildings just like, I remember them saying like you could destroy everything in the environment. Is that the case?
No. Not really. I mean, it works in the multiplayer, but then the stuff that you destroy disappears. So like I was expecting like a Red Faction Guerrilla type of thing, you know, where you can take a sledgehammer and bring down a whole skyscraper and then that stays in the environment, but it all disappears after a while. So it becomes pointless in a sense. And I mean, yeah, I think that's the main issue with Crackdown is just like everything feels like it's a 2007 game. It doesn't even look all that great. You know, it looks like a 360 game at times.
Yeah. Cause I think the first time we saw it was when we went to E3 a couple years ago.
Yep.
I walked out and said that, you know, I sounded like the jerk, but it looked like a 360 game. It didn't look good. And I understand they were trying to do the whole cloud, the visuals from the cloud or whatever. And like that may be the thing 5-10 years from now, but it definitely ain't the thing now. And like I may play it, but I don't know when. Like I'll play it when Tetris 99 isn't fun anymore.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is if I had paid $60 for this game, I'd be super bummed. Oh, like flat out would be super bummed. But as a game that's on my Game Pass service that I could just download and play, it's perfect. It was awesome. It was like 5 to 6 hours. I shot a bunch of stuff. I'm never going to go play it again, but I enjoyed it. I got a good run out of it. It was fun. And that was the right price, you know, as part of a service that I downloaded and paid. Now, I'm sure Microsoft, who invested at least 7 years in creating this game, doesn't want to hear that, you know, but it's still amazing to me that the game came out. I mean, in reality, like at no point along the way did it get canceled. It was just, I guess they got probably just too, they bought in for too much and it had to get out at some point. But
I just want to know why Scalebound got canceled if this didn't.
Well, that, and I think that it begs a real big question of like, how bad did Scalebound look to get canceled? You know,
because that at least looked really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I mean, was it just completely broken, or maybe it was just the studio in total disarray, or, you know, who knows?
Well, yeah. I mean, now you know it's going to look like a 360 game because it's going to go over to Switch. So,
yep,
that's fair. And I mean, with that said, though, Xenoblade Chronicles, at least the background looks freaking incredible.
The thing the Switch has working for it is people figured out that highly stylized games play well on the Switch, you know, and games that you don't necessarily need a ton of fidelity for the look, you know, the Mario games look beautiful.
I mean, like Octopath Traveler, I'm sorry, but I think Nintendo is making a huge mistake. Or, I mean, I imagine they'll get to that. Mm-hmm. They'll get here at some point. But they should have already made every Final Fantasy game that was on Nintendo available on Switch.
Sure.
Like,
I imagine that's probably licensing hell, though.
But like all those games on Super Nintendo that are just so freaking gorgeous still to this day, you know, should be available. They should make these available. But no, man, I'm glad that Crackdown is at least worth a Game Pass game.
Yeah, and that's the thing about it, and I think that it's, you know, I've just laid out a whole bunch of problems with it, like what that it isn't what I want it to be, you know, type thing. But it's still incredibly fun. Like just playing the game, sitting down and playing the game is really fun, and those 5-6 hours blew by. Like it just, they went. Well, as soon as I got like the hooks got into me, I just played that game straight. Like I was just, that's all I wanted to do was just keep playing Crackdown. It was really fun. And it brought back to me how much I really loved Crackdown. Now the problem with that is it's still just Crackdown, but that's a great game. Like Crackdown is really fun. And it just, the thing that, as I stepped away from it, the thing that really kind of just got to me was you see what could have been, and that game really could have been something. And it's just Crackdown, which is fine. Crackdown's fun.
It's like Kingdom Hearts.
Is it like Kingdom Hearts?
Here we go.
Tell me about it. Tell me about some.
Sorry, buddy. I couldn't help it.
To be honest, I haven't really been playing much of Kingdom Hearts. I just passed like the Olympus level and got the gummy ship and have been flying around and having fun with that. But you know, just there's a lot of time in that I got to put into that game, and there's a lot more stuff they put into the combat than was in the other two iterations of it. So I'm still trying to find the time to have enough, you know, to put enough attention to that game. So I think right now I'm going to probably step back from that one and get into Anthem, which I think we'll talk about shortly. But yeah, I played it for another hour, and it's a fun game. Like I'm enjoying it. It makes me happy when I play it. It's just, I don't have enough time to be happy right now. So I'm just, I'm just focusing on something that's a little bit more war driven than
yes,
power of love driven.
So wait, I saw a vicious rumor over the weekend, Robbie, that you had already beaten Anthem. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've actually
that is horribly distressing to me as someone that hasn't fired up Anthem yet.
Yeah. So let me preface with this. There's this thing called Games for Grunts, which is like this website that gives free games and stuff like that to soldiers.
Okay.
And they gave Lisa, who gave to me, a free Origin premiere for like 6 months, and they also gave us Xbox Game Pass for a year, which I thought was really cool.
That's awesome.
However, so I've had Origin Premiere for 2 weeks now. I've had access to Anthem for almost a week and a half now, for almost 2 weeks now. And I haven't said anything because I wanted to beat it. And I wanted to see if I wanted to see if my opinion would change. Because I played the first two or three hours and I'm like, hey man, this is awesome. I'm Iron Man. I am shooting crap. I am playing Destiny as Iron Man. Like, this is really cool. But then the loot was boring. There's no they had a bunch of guns like Unicorn Tail or in Destiny, like, you know, like the Eye of the Storm or Tornado's Butthole or whatever the crap, you know, like they had these awesome gun names in Destiny, and there's just none of that. Like, none of that in Anthem, at least in the main story of the game. You can't shoot and fly at the same time, which I think is a freaking crime that they don't let you do that. Like, yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Stop and hover to shoot. I use Storm because I always use any kind of wizard-based or projectile-based character whenever I can in games, or a mage or whatever. And the story is the story's dumb. They did the freaking thing that Destiny 1 did, where if you want the real story, you have to read codex. You have to read cards that you collect. Like, they don't even give you audio logs. Like, you have to read it.
Well, at least it's in the game, though. It's not like, go download
this app. And that's fair.
Yeah.
But none of the characters, like, and this, actually, I'll get to the anti-BioWare stuff in a second. Let's just talk about Anthem. The story itself just does not make any sense. The combat is fine, but after the second or third hour, like, you've seen what the game is. Because guess what, guys? You don't go into space. You don't go all over this world. You got one area. There's one major area.
So I've long maintained that Anthem is going to be a really good game 6 months from now.
Possibly.
You know, I think it's one of those things where we're in a very weird space with these type of games now, where they come out, quote unquote, they're released. Well, Anthem had three different release days, but and they're knowingly not finished. You know, like, they're sure that whatever the main campaign they put in there, but everyone knows they're bolting on more stuff to this. You know, like. And
so disappointing, though, for like someone who doesn't like there's a version of this game that people could have spent money on, like $80-$100, to play this game 2 weeks early. And I would be livid if I paid that and I had to play the garbage of version of Anthem that released. And like, the game doesn't make sense because the game is structured to where you're supposed to play it with people, which, hey, if that's the case, by all means, like, I'm sure there are people who are going to find a buddy, find some brothers or whatever, and they're going to play and they're going to enjoy the crap out of this game because you're playing with your friends. But the game is structured that way. However, the narrative, the story, makes it seem that there's only one person who's supposed to be playing the game. Like, it's almost like it's almost like BioWare was creating this open world single player experience, and that you can change suits throughout the game like Iron Man. But then EA was like, nah, folk, you got to put on some multiplayer stuff. And so I think, like, but the thing is, EA has freaking done this to every game. They do this to every game. They ruined Mass Effect. They're ruining Star Wars for people. Like, they have released two Star Wars games in, what, 6 years of owning the IP, and they've both been mediocre to suck at best. And now, 2 years in a row, a developer that I revere, I love BioWare, and now 2 years in a row, I have to say, they have produced disappointing games for me, because this game has no characters of interest, has no characters that are fun. It makes no sense to me that you fly third person with your character, but then your first person as your guy when you're walking through the world makes no sense to me at all. Also, BioWare is known for telling stories.
Yeah.
And there's none of that here.
Well, I think that's really the disappointing part about the story being in Codex, is you're kind of taking the best part of what BioWare does out, you know,
CD Projekt Red took a note from BioWare in creating worlds. Like, you listen to those guys talk about how they created Witcher. They talk about the games that BioWare developed. They're the dudes who set the trend. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Zach. My bad. No.
I was agreeing with you. I think the problem's twofold. I think you have a company that doesn't make shooters making a shooter. And then you have a structure where, let's face it, the first Destiny didn't get good until Taken King came out. And it was still arguable if it was good then, you know? But that was a year after it came out. And it seems like Anthem's suffering from a lot of the same problems, just not a lot to do.
There's like three different mission types.
Yeah. Not a lot to do in a very similar space to do it in. And it just stands to reason to me, after seeing, you know, this is what, the third one of these now, that I bet a year from now Anthem's pretty good. I bet it's pretty solid. Like, because you know what? Flying around is fun. Shooting is fun. Like,
it looks really pretty.
Yeah.
But the artwork looks uninspired. It doesn't look like, oh man, you can really tell that they put a lot of time and effort into creating a world here. There is no world. There's no world here. Yeah. And that's really disappointing to me. And, you know, Zach, to go back to when we were at E3 two or three years ago, you and I walked out of Xbox saying Anthem looks cool as hell.
Yeah, they made fun Destiny. That's what I said. Looks like they made fun Destiny. Like, all right, let's do this. Yeah.
And I said, I'll play Destiny as Iron Man. Like, yeah, that'd be super cool. But I just was so, and I played it on PC, and so it ran beautifully. Like, I have no qualms there. But I don't know if I want a Dragon Age now. Yeah. Because I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to get it. Like,
or what that game would even be at this point. Yeah.
Dragon Age Inquisition is literally one of my favorite games of this generation, of this gaming generation. Mm-hmm. And that may be the last game that good BioWare made.
Oh, I'll die on the Mass Effect 2 was the best game of the 360 generation hill. Like, Mass Effect 2 was up there.
Bro, if it wasn't for BioShock Infinite, I would be right there with you, man.
Yeah.
I personally,
it's better than BioShock Infinite.
Garrus is freaking dope in that game, specifically too.
The whole freaking game.
Oh my gosh, like, the little technicians, Jack. Oh, I want to play Mass Effect 2.
Right? Let's stop recording and go play Mass Effect. Mass Effect 2 was the game where BioWare found the perfect balance between telling a story, fun gameplay, story progression, like it moved at a good clip. Yeah. Yeah. And like you wanted to know more about the world. You wanted to know more about the people. It was like, they figured out how to make a Star Trek game, essentially.
There's
a
reason why there's an N7 day.
Yeah.
There is a reason why there's an N7 day.
And it's a bummer to see. Well, I mean, that studio that made that game basically doesn't exist anymore.
I know.
You know, and it's really sad. It's really sad. But Anthem's still one of those things. Like, I understand what you're saying. I 100% get it. I agree with 99% of it. My thing is, I'm not ready to drop a nail in that coffin yet.
Oh no.
I think a lot of what's there is fixable.
I'll go patching, back to it with Premiere. Since I have Premiere, I'll go back to it.
Like I'm interested to see what they bolt on and how fast they do it.
But the last time EA had a game that didn't sell well or didn't get critically acclaimed very well, they shut it down. They didn't put time and effort into it.
It'll be interesting to see how Apex affects this, because right now they have the world's most popular game making a ton of money. And that's either going to be, well, we're going to shutter up Anthem to focus on this thing that's making us a ton of money. Or I could see them going with the, well, we've just got a big cash infusion we weren't necessarily counting on. Let's make this product, because who knows when the next Apex comes around, that's going to knock us off the hill. Where Anthem's the game that you could be making Anthem 2 and 3 for the next 10 years if you do it right.
I think,
Janet, go ahead, bud. I was going to ask you.
I just think that EA just, I don't know. It just seems to me like they just keep stepping on their own dick.
Yeah.
And I mean, it just, I don't see good choices coming out of them. Like, I haven't for a long time. And I think, you know, as it's disheartening to hear that this game, you know, has the same growing pains that it looks like Destiny 1 had. It just kind of shows that EA wasn't really paying attention to the market. And I don't necessarily know if that's, you know, I don't know who's to blame there. Cause it kind of sounds to me like this is going to be one of those Bungie, Activision, like, debacles. Like eventually, like, you know, these two studios are just going to get pissed off, or like, you know, something's going to come to a head. And I don't know, like, what EA is doing over there, like why they're such control freaks and why they don't let like other, like houses, like, you know, just let them do them. Like, let them, like, if they want to go out and they want to try something new and like you're gonna fund them, like, let them do it. Like, don't be this control freak and be like, oh well, I think this needs to happen, because I mean, EA hasn't really proven themselves to be competent when it comes to you know, kind of taking the reins in those situations. All in all, like, I'm a little upset. I mean, like, the only experience I had with Anthem today was I tried to load it up and the servers were down, and I don't know like why they were down. I went to EA's website and they didn't give us any specified thing. They just said they'd be down for maintenance at like, you know, they didn't even get a time. They just said they were down for maintenance. So, you know, the small window I had to give it a try and actually, you know, come up with, you know, something positive about the game, I couldn't even do that because I couldn't get into the servers. So, you know, it's just seems like there's a lot of miscalculation going, going on their side right now. And I hope they fix it. I hope they pull their head out of their butt, because, like, I mean, if I see that EA has a hand in anything from here on out, like, you know, chances are I'm going to stay away from it for a while.
And, you know, here's the thing, Shannon. You probably would have come in and said, "Hey, you know, I don't know. It's kind of fun. It's really fun to fly around." Like, because you would have had early impressions. Mm-hmm. And if someone would have asked me after 3 hours, I would have said, "No, man. Hey, this is fun. Like, this is kind of cool." But then after 3 hours, man, you don't have any variety. And now they're talking about they took a skill. After the alpha, they took the skill tree out of the game, and yeah, now they're talking about putting it back in.
That's one of those, like, how do you even do that when people are at like level 30? Like, how do you now put a skill tree in? Like, what? What? You're insane. What are you talking about?
And look, I'll say this too. I did not find enough variety in the different types of javelins, like. Probably Storm and the Colossus one are probably the two that are most distinct, but like, I don't know. It's kind of like, it probably is a lot like Mass Effect. Like, there really, the only difference was at times, like, there's a gun difference, you know, like there's one gun that's a different, that makes them a different character. I just overall, like I said, this is the second year in a row where a company that I revere and I love and has made some of my favorite games of all time, I'm saying that they made another disappointing game. And I personally believe that, I believe this with all my heart, I do not believe that this is BioWare. I believe this is EA messing with them.
Well, and I mean, at some point though, EA can only do so much, you know, it's as a publisher, the company still has to make it,
but they force them to use a certain engine. They're forcing them to use that Frostbite engine that everyone complains about.
They might complain about, but Frostbite looks amazing. I mean, I can point to game after game that uses Frostbite that is just like that shit looks great. You know, like,
but
like,
look at the Andromeda one, like, is a perfect example that from Jason Schreier, that long article that talked about they did not want to use Frostbite because it is better used for shooters and for sports games and not action adventure games.
And then EA was like, fine, go make a shooter then. And they were like, fine, no problem. but I think Anthem's one of those, put a pin in it and come back, because I don't think the story of Anthem is told yet, and it'll be interesting to see what they do. Now, it is one of those things where does the treatment of Anthem change things, like Respawn's next game, the Titanfall game, or Respawn's Star Wars game that's coming out? You know, I mean, does their treatment of Anthem and how they've pumped it up only to see it kind of fall on its face, hit the door? Like, does that change how these games get hyped, do you think, in the future? Or do you think it's just they know Respawn's got their act together and they're just going to run with it? Like, how do you think they handle that?
I mean, they have to release the Jedi game.
Yeah.
Like, they said,
let me ask you this now. Do you think Respawn nails those games? They're an EA company, you know, like, do you think Respawn get, because I mean, no one saw Apex coming. No.
I don't freaking know. Titanfall, you know? 2 is amazing. Titanfall 1 was good.
It was a proof of concept. It, that's what Titanfall was.
Yes. So like, Respawn has proven that they know how to make games, but I've not seen an action adventure game from them, and they're about to make an action adventure game. And so, like, they've completely flipped the script. And
yeah, if anything, they should have made Anthem. You know?
Yeah. Like, you know what, Zach? I don't freaking know. I know that I'm a gamer who prefers certain companies and certain types of games and certain expectations of narratives from certain companies. And I've just beyond disappointed
now
in this.
Now, since we're talking narrative-driven shooters, talk to me about Metro, because I really want to buy this game, but I'm kind of on the fence about it.
Okay, let me ask you a couple questions.
Sure.
Are you a fan of the first two?
Careful answer. Short answer, long answer, yes, because I really like the ideas that are in that game. Like, the second game was a little cleaner than the first, but I really like the world that exists there. And I think, like, some of the mechanics are really interesting in those games. They're clunky. That's my main issue with them, is just they're clunky as hell. But
okay.
But I dig the world that exists there.
I will say this. I've played the first two. I enjoyed the story and the world of the first two, but I put 3 hours into Metro and I haven't picked it up again. That may be because I may just not be in the mood for their clunky gameplay and their janky stealth.
Yeah, and so it's still not that those systems haven't been streamlined much.
No, and look, they did change the, which I don't know. I loved this aspect. I loved the bullets are currency thing. I thought that was freaking awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
I thought the way they executed it was great too. They've taken that out of the game. I think it's smart to get out of the Metro, the underground stuff. I thought that was smart, and to get out in the open.
Do they still have the like oxygen limiting stuff and all that?
Yeah, and you have to wipe your mask constantly, at least early on. You have to wipe your mask constantly. That does change later on. And from what I'm told, like, if you get past like the fifth hour, things do change, but nothing's going to change that janky shooting.
Yeah.
And okay. and the character design of like the monsters
mm-hmm.
still kind of look this like they did before, kind of like whenever you're a kid and you just like press marker against a paper and you just press down and yeah. it like and you just trying to make like a figure out of it. Like that's kind of how some of them look.
That's so like that's just like the perfect description. Yeah. Yeah.
The reason why I'm not angry or upset about it is because like the world is awesome. Like mm-hmm. this Russian post-apocalyptic world is awesome. I'm tired of playing an avatar, and that's essentially who I am, because Anton, I always forget his name.
So he's an 8 foot tall cat person that's all blue.
Yeah, he doesn't talk during the game, including when characters are interacting with him. He only talks when he narrates in between chapters or during loading screens. Zach, I would wait like when this thing drops like $30.
Okay.
And pick it up.
Because it will. I mean, the first two they gave away so many times. So
yeah, and look, now I have a buddy who reviewed it for a website who loves the series and he adored the game. And I love the first two. I just again maybe I'm just not in the right mindset right now. Maybe Anthem really did just put such a horrible taste in my mouth that I have put literally 11 hours into Tetris 99.
Well, since you went ahead and did that, let's go ahead and talk about everyone's game of the year. I'm calling it right now, Tetris 99, because my God, nothing makes 6 hours of your life disappear faster than Tetris 99.
Freaking amen, like, brother.
Oh, what's your best finish? You ever get one?
I've won 3 times.
Best I've ever done was 7th. But yeah, it is. So let's just talk about what it is, which it sounds like a bad Twitter joke, but Nintendo made Battle Royale Tetris. Is you playing competitive Tetris against 99 other components or other opponents, I should say. And in that, while you're playing Tetris, you also have the ability to target other people to send them your blocks as you clear lines, and people will do the same to you. It gets crazy real fast. Like you hit that 50 players left sounder and you know, it's about to get real, real on you. like I've had the games where 10 people target you at once. And it's just like, well, it's over. That was fun. Okay, great.
I took a picture of the game about to start, and I had like eight or nine people targeting me at once.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And it's because I put so much time into it that my level is higher, and so everybody's freaking coming after me. I'm like, dude, I'm not that good. Like, you don't have to do that.
I've played 1,700 games. That's why my level's that high. I haven't I'm not one of these like constant spin Twitter gods or Tetris gods that you see the Twitter posts where like they're just like every piece is spinning all the time and they're just all the like craziness, like all these high level Tetris techniques that I never will understand. Did you see
that video I posted on Twitter, Zach, of that dude who recovers?
Yeah, recovery
video.
Yeah. Oh my! It's just like
is that dude a wizard?
I mean, like, I want to say Foul Magic was at play there. I mean,
he's a Wiccan.
Yeah, totally. But it is the game, and that's the crazy thing about it. It is straight up when you used to play Tetris on your Game Boy through a game link against your best friend or sibling or whatever, and you would just play competitive Tetris in a 2-player game. It's that game. Like, there's nothing special about it. It's straight up just competitive Tetris, but having 99 other opponents and just the chaos that ensues, it's so addictive. It is just the most addictive thing. And a game beginning to end will take what, 5 minutes maybe.
And now, it starts off at level 1 as far as speed goes. And then it ramp, like when you hit like 50 people, does it ramp up to like 5? And then when you get down to like 10, it ramps up to like 9.
You know, I don't actually know, but yeah, that it's sounds like about that. Right.
It's like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the thing is like when you get to where
you not played?
I have not.
Oh, Shannon. Oh.
I'll get it on. It's on the Switch, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's free.
All right. Yeah. I'll get it on the Switch.
Tetris 99 is free 99. Go download that. Like,
all right. My only qualm is the fact that I can't invite a friend to play with me.
Yeah, yeah. It has a bit of a, yeah, this is a weird free thing we just threw out there. It could be a lot more polished. There could be a
lot
more.
Tell me that ain't the most Nintendo thing ever.
Oh, totally. But at the same time, like, I love the fact that they just did it.
Yes.
You know, like, it's a cool experiment and it works so well. Like, and the thing is it's not completely bare bones. I think the presentation is really cool. Like the menu setup, the way everyone else's screen is around your screen in the middle. Like, I think that's a really neat thing. So you can kind of, you know, when you first start playing, you're just playing Tetris and until you kind of get your mind around how it all works. But after, let's say, 100 games, just, you know, spitballing here, you start to realize, like,
how many games I've played. Yeah, I actually
don't want to look.
Like, 11 hours of 5-minute games.
Yeah. Just, yeah. That sounds about right. Yeah. But the thing about it is you start looking around the screen at all the little screens surrounding yours and you can see, like, oh, that guy's in trouble. I'm going to target him. Oh, that guy, or this guy's doing too well. I need to start sending him stuff. You know, you can start to pinpoint guys around thing, or like, oh, someone's already targeting this dude, obviously. So I need to get over there and see if I can get this guy out. Cause you get these badges as you eliminate people and they give you little bonuses along the way. And so it's just so damn cool. It's so fun. It's ridiculous. It's stupid, but I love it. It's like one of my favorite games I've played in a long, long time. It's my favorite battle royale that's come out this year, and Apex is the other, you know, like, it's kind of crazy, but yeah, Tetris 99 is legit.
This is legitimately going to be one of my games of the year.
Yeah. I I'm not kidding. Like, it is probably on the top of my list right now. And y'all, like, Resident Evil 2 came out this year and I'm saying Tetris 99, like, this weird quirky ass Nintendo experiment is just jumped to the top of the list.
It's the freaking most Nintendo freaking thing ever to just, hey, let's not make shooters. Let's take this game that's like 50 years old and let's turn it into a battle royale.
Totally.
Yeah, and it's like, let's make husbands who have 8-month-olds stay up super late and punish themselves because they just want to play one more match.
Yeah, because I got in the top 10 last game and I know I can win if I just do one more time. Like, yeah.
Those words might have been spoken.
Maybe more than once. Who can say? I mean, it's weird. We're, you know, I'm just picking things out of the clear blue. But yeah, if you have not messed with Tetris 99, I would almost say don't, because it'll steal your soul. But it's really good. Like, man, that game is so good. So I think that's all we've been playing this week, right? Does anyone else have anything?
I tried out Steep. I don't know if anybody remembers that game.
That was the like snowboarding game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
the best start. It's always the best start when it's just, you know.
I just want to preface that I love the SSX tricky games. I love those games. And I think, you know, I don't know if y'all love them as well, but like, what made them so much fun is just doing tricks and the fluidity of movement in the game. And I don't know, like, it's just cool to freaking snowboard. And this game kind of, like, it takes that fun element out. And it's just not, I don't know, it doesn't feel great. It doesn't run smoothly. It's Ubisoft. I mean, who have become like one of these developers who work on their products and make them great. I'm really just kind of surprised at how little I've enjoyed this game. But I'm not going to play anymore. I just wanted to have a different game to talk about because I thought everyone else would talk about Anthem and Tetris. So,
and you were right. But yes, Jen, you got anything else, sir?
No.
Fine. You're going to give me all that attitude about it. But,
I'm just waiting so I can go download Tetris 99 and see what this is all about now.
Yeah. Yeah. Do it. I guess that's what we've been playing this week, and got a little wrap up session. I know Robbie wanted to vent on some Oscar related news here.
I want to be careful how I say this because I don't want to offend anyone. And yeah, Zach, I think you know me well enough that I never want to mm-hmm. purposely offend anyone. I don't understand why the Oscars felt the need to just like spread out all the winners because they wanted to make everyone feel included. Okay. There are better movies. There are movies that were better than better made, better acted. Like these movies were a top tier above these movies, but you wanted to make everyone feel included. So you just like, you separate everything off. And I just was really disappointed in that. And also fundamentally just disagree with the fact that Into the Spider-Verse wasn't nominated for Best Picture, but yep. Bohemian Rhapsody was. And
I agree with that.
And so, but anyway, movies are awesome.
Movies are awesome, but it's also, you know, like, I don't understand. Okay. I do not understand why people care so much about the Oscars. Like they have my whole life. It's not a new thing. I don't get it. I don't understand. Like it's.
Yeah, I know. This is the year that I've cared the least, but I'm still a little annoyed, but.
It's a bunch of super rich people high-fiving themselves and saying, aren't we rad? Like, okay, true. Great. Good job, guys. Yeah, you're still awesome. But thanks. Like, I don't get it. You know, I mean.
But the fact that, the fact that Spike Lee didn't get Best Director for Black Klansman mm-hmm. or that Black Klansman didn't win Best Picture, I'm flabbergasted by that because while Green Book was really good, and I know it doesn't matter. This is a waste of breath. I was just annoyed. I'm not even a Spike Lee fan, and I thought this was his best movie, and it was one of the best movies of the year, if not the best movie of the year, and I thought it was awesome. But anyway, that was all I had to say.
They gave Shape of Water Best Picture. Like, come on.
Get that freaking crap out of here.
Like, right? Like, it's one of those things, like, and something like that happens every single year, but I think it's just people like to bitch about things. So they tune into these shows so they can, like, get outraged about something. I don't know. Like, yeah. It's just like,
the internet needs fuel, right?
Yeah, and exactly. I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not going to post anything. I like watching movies for more than just entertainment. I like watching them for the art of making movies. And like, I was just really lucky this year. Like, yes, I have an eight month old son, but I was able to see 50 movies this year. I saw every movie that was nominated. And I just was really just disappointed in the Oscars this year. And then they also chose not to have a host. And that was weird. And I don't know. It's just across the board disappointing. With that said, I will tell everyone you go watch Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about. Let's talk about some Umbrella Academy. That show.
Umbrella Academy, maybe. And Zach, please, you can correct me if you disagree, but mm-hmm. it may be one of the best character driven single seasons of a show I've seen in a long time.
Oh yeah, Klaus is my boy. Me and Klaus, you. That's one of my favorite characters in a long, long time.
Lead singer of My Chemical Romance.
Yeah.
Man, what the crap.
but it's also one of those things where Shannon and mine's friend Carlos summed it up perfectly to me when he was like, this is basically if Royal Tenenbaums founded the X-Men. And I was like, yeah, actually it is. That's like, it nailed it. Like, good on you. That's like perfect description. And yeah, it's so the story, if people don't know, there were 43 kids all born on the same time at the same day, which isn't that unusual, except none of the mothers were pregnant to begin the day. So there was all like these children just spontaneously came into existence. And one eccentric billionaire adopts, quote unquote, essentially buys seven of the kids and raises them together as siblings, and they all have powers. So he starts the Umbrella Academy, which is like a super team. Now the show is starting with they're no longer children. They're all adults. The dad has died and they're all seeing each other for the first time in years. And they're all incredibly broken people, like every single one of them. And so the show is essentially what's happening to them now. How did they get there?
And time travel.
Yeah. And then time travel comes in and like different narratives are, and it gets so crazy. There's just things that happen in the course of a given episode that are dumb with like 20 B's, like just dumb, but they serve a purpose in setting a mood or moving the plot forward or, tonally creating an atmosphere for a certain scene or an episode that you kind of just let it all go. And I'm a person that doesn't do those things. Like it bothers me when an entire building blows up and I'm sitting there going like, that would never happen. Things don't work that way. Like that, nothing explodes like that unless there's like 10 sticks of dynamite strategically placed around a building, you know, like things don't, but like in this show, I'm like, oh yeah, that kind of worked to set that mood. I get it.
The music is perfect.
One of the best soundtracks I've heard for what is happening on screen. Every quirky, weird ass song totally works. There's not one choice where I'm like, man, I wouldn't have done that. Yeah.
It's the best soundtrack since Baby Driver for me.
That's a good call.
Like, and the fact that there's like, there are seven distinct characters, actually probably nine or 10 distinct characters, but seven main characters that you're following, and they all have storyline. They all progress. Some of them regress.
Yeah.
But they're not the same at the end of the season. And I really hated it when Darth Vader showed up and killed them all, though. I was really bummed out about that.
Yeah. Poor bastards got stuck in that hallway. But, you know, I'm just going to say Hazel. I love Hazel. Hazel's the best.
He's so good. Oh, his story is so good.
I love Hazel. Hazel and Agnes are like my two favorite characters. But just the whole thing.
Allison was good too, man. Like
she had a good character arc. And then I love that I'm not going to go too big into spoilers here, but at one point, time travel comes in and a timeline that has been going gets rewound and had a chance to be replayed. And they do that in service of like an ultimate conclusion, except that if they know, things might have been better for everyone involved. And so like, I love that they show you that, like they take it down the road far enough to be like, this was okay, but this might not have been the actual best thing here. You know, like when that happens, I'm like, but everyone's kind of all right. Like everyone's kind of in a good spot right now. Why would you? Oh, okay. We're reminding, let's do this. Okay. Like, let's go. Good. No, it's very clever. It works really well. I'm already want season two. Like I would watch it right now if it existed. I was not ready to stop at the 10th episode, but hopefully we get season two soon because it was a great show.
Awesome. I need to get my Netflix back up so I can watch that.
Yeah. It's rock solid. It's really good. Shannon, you got anything?
No, Masked Singer updates, for anybody who's interested. I did not expect the unveiling. So we're getting into the finals next week. So the semifinals were this week. So they got rid of like two singers. the one that everybody knew, was the rabbit. So like the rabbit, you know, came out, everybody knew it was, Joey Fatone from NSYNC. So like, there was no surprise there. However, the lion has been somebody that nobody has guessed for like the whole run of the show. And I thought that she was probably going to make it to the finals, but she got voted off this weekend. And it turned out it was Rumor Willis. And I did not know that Rumor Willis could sing as well as she did, but she freaking crushed it on that show. Good on her. But yeah, now this coming week is the finals. So we got the monster and the peacock and the bee. So we'll see who wins. And after that, you guys won't have to hear me talk about the Masked Singer for quite a long time.
who is Invader Zim?
That was LaToya Jackson.
All right.
Yeah, big surprise. So we'll see what happens there. Other than that, I've been watching The Grand Tour on Amazon Prime. I love that show. So if anybody liked the old BBC Top Gear before Jeremy Clarkson went and punched somebody in the face, if you have Amazon Prime, they're on there now doing their shtick over there. So
you should watch Luther on Amazon Prime, Shannon.
Okay. That sounds familiar. That's the
Idris Elba.
Oh yeah.
Detective show.
Yeah, I started watching the first season of that. It's a little too heavy for me right now, but yeah, I gotta jump back into that and watch more of that. But yeah, right. Nothing else. Simple.
Well, all right. I guess we'll wrap it up then. And thank you for listening to us prattle on about all things Pixel Life. If you would choose to, please follow us on Twitter. That Pixel Life is the Twitter handle there. And you can also find all of us on there. If you really want some hot sports takes, I got you covered. And Robbie, if you care about 17-year-olds signing to play college football somewhere, Robbie has got you just locked. Like,
I'm glad there was no awkward pause in the beginning of that sentence, Zach. So
yeah. Well, punctuation's important.
Stop pumping baby seals.
Yeah. Yes. It's time to eat, Grandma. So, but yes, get out there, join the Facebook group. You can find us on there most days, just chatting about whatever game we're playing or the news of the day. Let us know what you think of the new iteration, what we can do better, what we could do worse. Tell me that I'm doing too good and I should slow down. That's what you should do. But review us on iTunes. Let me know. Let me know what you think. I would appreciate the feedback, good or bad or indifferent. Everything helps. And I guess that's going to do it for us.
Zach, yes, I want to say this, and then we were cut away because I did have something I actually legitimately wanted to say that wasn't Oscars, and I got trailed off. I'm reading one of the most fascinating books that I've ever read in my life, and it is called The First Conspiracy, and it is legitimately about the hidden conspiracy of the governor of New York and a guy on the cabinet for George Washington and their undercover assassination attempt on George Washington.
Ooh, snap. That sounds right up my alley.
Dude,
right,
it is so captivating. It is one of the coolest books, and whenever I'm finished with it, I'm probably going to nerd out with it at the end of one of our podcasts. Right. But it's so freaking good.
Okay.
So good.
I will definitely investigate that myself because that sounds like my kind of book for sure.
Sorry about that.
No problem. So First Conspiracy, check it out. We'll do a book club on it or something. That'd be fun. we can't call it That Pixel Life. That Printed Life, something like that. We'll come up with That Printed Life book club. just spitballing. We'll just make things up as we go along, which is what I do best anyway. But yes, so that is our show for the week. Thank you for finding us and listening and sticking with us while we had our little delay there, while we reconfigured ourselves. But we are back. We are better than ever. And I'm just going to take a minute here to tell you that everyone is going through something. So just be happy and be kind, because just a little hold the door, tell someone have a good day. It all helps. Just you don't have to do a lot to make a big difference. So I will leave you with that, and thank you very much. We'll see y'all next week.
Bye.